Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, Savage Truthers, to another episode. I am your host, Cicely Davis. So happy to have you join me. Happy to be back with you. If you're new to the channel, welcome. I welcome you. Thank you for joining me. Come on back next time. Bring someone along with you. Tell someone else about the show. For the ride or dies, to the loyalists, to those who tune in every single week, every episode, thank you for your loyalty. Thank you for caring. Thank you for tuning in. I wouldn't, and am not interested in doing this without you. Whether you're new or returning, I have an ask. And you always know what it is. It's always the same too. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Please and thank you. We are so back. We're back, everybody. We are back. I'm still celebrating. I told you, I'm still celebrating. It's only been a week. Give me time to come off this high, okay? Don't burst my bubble. Let it be like a helium balloon. Let it deflate and dissolve naturally. But I'm still on a high right now. This country is going to turn around. It's going to be good and beneficial for Americans, for all of America, even the ones who are all upset and going crazy and shaving their heads and, you know, kind of denying their husband's intimacy and all that stuff. It's going to be great for them too. They're not going to have any choice but to embrace it. But we are back, okay? The agenda of transgenderism is going to get shut down. The agenda of abortions at 7, 8, 9 months old is going to get shut down. The agenda of mediocrity and, you know, the law and order will be restored. Super excited. You know what? The agenda to serve others and to, you know, praise God and to recognize this country as a Christian Judeo base, a Christian Judeo country, that is on its way back. Inflation rates are going to go down. The market is up. I'm super enthused. The family, the core family is returning, and it's a good thing, right? Math is going to end up being just math. It's not going to be considered racist. So many good things are coming because of the 47th elect Donald Trump. We are back. It's our time now. This is our time. If you are a rhino, a bureaucratic deep state operative, a never Trumper, a supposed Republican conservative who voted for Kamala Harris or voted for Democrats to keep Trump out of office or off the ballot, a supporter of a Liz Cheney or a Joe Scaramucci, a Chris Christie, Chris Twinkie Christie. Be afraid. Be very, very afraid. You and many others like you are part of the deep state, and we are coming for you. Welcome back, savages. Welcome back. I'm still celebrating, as you know. I really appreciate your support, but we need to get into the haps, okay? We really need to get in the haps of what's going on here. Donald Trump is making moves. He's making big moves, bold moves, moves that has the left afraid. They are trembling with fear and they are terrified because they realize that they will indeed lose their grip. They're losing it now, losing their grip on this great US of A, mainly in government, Washington, D.C., and soon to extend to other realms, all other industry, right? I mean, Donald Trump being in office should scare corporations. It should scare the drug industry. It should scare the education industry. It should scare the religious industry, education, entertainment. It should scare social media. It should scare all elites, right? Elite operatives. It should absolutely scare the deep state. Now, Donald Trump made a bold announcement about his war on censorship. We are winning on every level, and this is just the beginning, folks. You know what? He can tell you better than I can. Go ahead, Rick. Roll the footage.
If we don't have free speech, then we just don't have a free country. It's as simple as that. If this most fundamental right is allowed to perish, then the rest of our rights and liberties will topple. Just like dominoes, one by one, they'll go down. That's why today I'm announcing my plan to shatter the left-wing censorship regime and to reclaim the right to free speech for all Americans. And reclaim is a very important word in this case because they've taken it away. In recent weeks, bombshell reports have confirmed that a sinister group of deep state bureaucrats, Silicon Valley tyrants, left-wing activists, and depraved corporate news media have been conspiring to manipulate and silence the American people. They have collaborated to suppress vital information on everything from elections to public health. The censorship cartel must be dismantled and destroyed, and it must happen immediately. And here is my plan. First, within hours of my inauguration, I will sign an executive order banning any federal department or agency from colluding with any organization, business, or person to censor, limit, categorize, or impede the lawful speech of American citizens. I will then ban federal money from being used to label domestic speech as mis or disinformation. And I will begin the process of identifying and firing every federal bureaucrat who has engaged in domestic censorship, directly or indirectly, whether they are the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Health, Human Services, the FBI, the DOJ, no matter who they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Finally, it's our time. Actually, it's everyone's time. It's America's time. And it's about time that we get back to actually honoring the First Amendment, actually honoring and upholding the Constitution and forging all its amendments. This benefits all Americans, every single one of them, especially those of you who are legal. Okay, I'm talking to the legal ones, even though it has been those of us on the right who have been canceled. We are the ones that have been censored and arrested and silenced and banned. And now every single American can be assured, at least for the next 4 years, right? We got 2 years to get things done because we have a, you know, we have a little pit stop 2 years from now, that they can tell the truth. They can rest assured that they can tell the truth, that they can speak their minds and share content without fear of retribution and censorship. That video was Donald Trump making it very clear, crystal clear. He's taking back the First Amendment. Donald Trump's mere presence, the very presence of this man, just the position of president-elect, right? Just as president-elect has sworn in yet. He hasn't even sworn in yet. As president-elect has caused our enemies to revert, to retreat, to retract, and to rethink their positions, their stances, their overconfidence, right? Which they have no reason to be overly confident at this point. Now, since Donald Trump has been elected president-elect, we have had the first woman chief of staff. No more debit cards to illegal aliens. American manufacturing has returned home. We have an instant rise in stock market and Bitcoin. We have a severe decrease in migrant caravans. Qatar has given Hamas the boot. Hamas calls for the end of the war. The Taliban softens their language and wants a new chapter. China wants to now peacefully coexist. Russia wants conversations with the U.S. And the EU now wants to buy gas from us, not Russia. And Ukrainian leaders want to talk to Trump. All this because Donald Trump is president-elect. Savages. Are you still on a high like I am? You should be celebrating. You should be kicking up your heels and turning cartwheels. Every day I think, okay, it's sunk in now. Trump is in and we're going to be better. We're going to be okay. Every time I think that, something else occurs and I celebrate all over again. Listen, this has been a jam-packed week and a half or so. Now, listen, we have Susie Wiles as chief of staff. We have Elise Stefanik. We have Stephen Miller. We have Tom Holman. Great selections. These are great selections. Now, let's give a rundown of those seats that Trump has chosen for his administration so far, because we really need to talk about the players and kind of get a look into the future of who's actually going to be running the country under this superior leadership of Donald Trump and VP J.D. Vance. First up, we have Pete Hegseth. Secretary of Defense is what he's been chosen to be. Host of the Fox News Channel's Fox and Friends Weekend and has been a contributor with the network since 2014, where he developed a friendship with Trump, who made regular appearances on the show. If confirmed by the Senate, and I believe he will without a doubt, he would inherit the top job during a series of global crises. It will range from Russia's war on Ukraine and the ongoing attacks in the Middle East by Iranian proxies and the ceasefire between Israel, Hamas, and Hezbollah, and escalating worries about the growing alliance between Russia and North Korea. Next up, we have Kristi Noem, Secretary of Homeland Security will be her position. We have William McKinley, White House Counsel, is what his position will be. Trump says that William McKinley, a lawyer who has served in Trump's White House and in a key political role this year, will be his White House counsel. McKinley was White House cabinet secretary during Trump's first administration and was outside legal counsel for the Republican National Committee's election integrity effort during the 2024 campaign. We have John Ratcliffe for CIA director, who is a former Texas congressman who served as director of national intelligence during his first administration, to be the director of the CIA in his next position. Now we have Ratcliffe was the director of national intelligence during the final year and a half of Trump's first term. We have Stephen Witkoff, special envoy to the Middle East. He's a real estate investor, and Stephen Witkoff to be the special envoy to the Middle East. Trump also named Witkoff co-chair for former Georgia Senator Kelly Loeffler of his inaugural committee. Mike Huckabee will be ambassador to Israel. He is the former Arkansas governor, as you know. Mike Huckabee to be ambassador to Israel, the president-elect. Huckabee is a staunch defender of Israel, and his intended nomination comes as Trump has promised to align U.S. foreign policy more closely with Israel's interests as it wages wars against the Iran-backed Hamas and Hezbollah. That is absolutely needed. We know that Israel is our number one ally. We have Mike Waltz, National Security Advisor, okay, a retired Army National Guard officer and war veteran. Waltz is a three-term GOP congressman from East Central Florida. He served multiple tours in Afghanistan and also worked in the Pentagon as a political advisor when Donald Rumsfeld and Robert Gates were defense chiefs. Susie Wiles, like I mentioned, is chief of staff. This 67-year-old powerhouse woman was a senior advisor to Trump's 2024 presidential campaign, which we know is a amazing over-the-top success, and it's de facto manager. Wiles has a background in Florida politics. She helped Ron DeSantis win his first race for Florida governor. Now, 6 years later, she was key to Trump's defeat of him in the 2024 Republican primary. Wiles' hire was Trump's first major decision as president-elect, and one that could be a defining test in his incoming administration, considering her close relationship with the president-elect. Wiles is said to have earned Trump's trust in party and in part by guiding what was the most disciplined of Trump's three presidential campaigns. Wiles was able to help keep Trump on track, as few others have been able to do, not by criticizing his impulses, but by winning his respect, by demonstrating his success after taking her advice. We have Tom Homan, border czar, a real border czar. Homan, at 62, has been tasked with Trump's top priority of carrying out the largest deportation operation in our nation's history. Homan, who served under Trump in his first administration, leading U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, was widely expected to be offered a position related to the border, an issue Trump made central to his campaign. Though Homan has insisted such a massive undertaking would be humane, he has long been a loyal supporter of Trump's policy proposals, suggesting at a July conference in Washington that he would be willing to run the biggest deportation operation in this country has ever seen. Okay, now I really, really enjoyed the last two appointments. Okay. This first female chief of staff and Homan. And Homan in particular, because of the invasion that we have in this country and so many people that we've lost at the hands of illegal immigrants, that I really want you to get a glimpse of who this guy is. So watch these two videos.
Mr. Homan, your name is on this. Is this correct?
Yes, I signed that memo.
So you are the author of the family separation policy?
I am not the author of this memo.
You're not the author, but you signed the memo.
Yes, a zero tolerance memo.
So you provided the official recommendation to Secretary Nielsen on family for the United States to pursue family separation.
I gave Secretary Nielsen numerous recommendations on how to secure the border and save lives.
But it says here that you gave her numerous options, but the recommendation was option three, family separation.
What I'm saying, this is not the only paper where we've given the Secretary numerous options to secure the border and save lives.
And so the recommendation, of the many that you recommended family separation.
I recommended zero tolerance.
Which includes family separation.
The same as is whenever a U.S. citizen parent gets arrested when they're with a child.
Zero tolerance was interpreted as the policy that separated children from their
parents. If I get arrested for DUI and I have a young child in a car, I'm going to be separated. When I was a police officer in New York and I arrested a father for domestic violence, I separated that
father from his family. Mr. Homan, with all due respect, legal asylees are not charged with any crime.
When you're in the country illegally, it's violation 8 United States Code 1325.
Seeking asylum is legal.
If you want to seek asylum, you go through the port of entry, do it the legal way. The Attorney General of the United States has made that clear.
Okay.
Why should a child who is an American citizen have to pack up and move to a country that they don't know?
Because their parent obviously entered the country illegally, had a child knowing he was in the country illegally, so he created that crisis.
Okay. Just the look of that guy, right? You look at him and you know that he means business. But with him at the border, that border is going to be sealed tight, okay? We are going to get our country back. And anybody that's here that is not well-intended or is here illegally, they got to go back. They can come back, but they got to do it the right way. They have to do it the right way. Super excited for him being in. We have Elise Stefanik, United Nations Ambassador. This is the position she will take. Stefanik's questioning over university presidents over anti-Semitism on their campuses helped lead to two of those presidents resigning, further raising her national profile. If confirmed, and she will be, she would represent American interests at the UN as the Trump vows to end the war waged by Russia against Ukraine that began in 2022. He has also called for peace as Israel continues its offensive against Hamas in Gaza and its invasion of Lebanon to target Hezbollah. We have Stephen Miller. I am a fan. Deputy Chief of Staff for Policy. Miller, an immigration hardliner, was a vocal spokesperson during the presidential campaign for Trump's priority of mass deportation. Okay, this guy means business. He's young. Okay, he's confident. He's a bulldog. This 39-year-old was a senior advisor during Trump's first administration, if you remember. He and Homan together, nobody's getting in illegally. Nobody's getting past these two. We have Lee Zeldin of New York. He's going to be Environmental Protection Agency. We got Marco Rubio, Secretary of State. We have Trump appoints Tulsi Gabbard as Director of National Intelligence. We have Matt Gaetz as Attorney General. Now, Trump first announced his nomination in a post on Truth Social saying Gaetz has distinguished himself in Congress through his focus on achieving desperately needed reform at the Department of Justice. Now, most people are going to be very, very surprised. A lot of people are still talking about this one. This one kind of came out of nowhere. This was not expected, even by Republicans. But Trump taps. This one is really important. Trump taps Musk, Elon Musk, to lead a Department of Government Efficiency with partnership of Ramaswamy. Now, Trump has tapped them both to head what he's calling the Department of Government Efficiency, the DOGE. an acronym that is an apparent wink to the dog-themed cryptocurrency by the same name that started as a joke and skyrocketed after Musk promoted it. Now, Trump made the announcement in a statement on Tuesday evening indicating DOGE and its leadership, Musk and Ramaswamy, will focus on regulating government spending. I'm quoting Trump here. Okay, these two Americans will pave the way for my administration to dismantle government bureaucracy, slash excess regulations, cut wasteful expenditures, and restructure federal agencies, essential to the Save America movement. Now, Musk has become an increasingly influential voice in the conservative politics. He first proposed a government efficiency commission that would monitor federal agencies during a conversation he had with Trump on X. Now, since winning the presidential election, Trump and Musk have remained in really close orbit. There's more to come, I'm sure, as Trump assembles his administration. But make no mistake about it. Make no mistake that he's not making any mistakes. Okay? He's assembled a team in his first term. When he did so, the idea of that, when he first assembled that team in his first term, was putting some people together who don't always necessarily agree with him. And under that notion, the idea was that they would always, in the end, even if they didn't always agree with Trump, still decide to do what's best for the country. Now, ultimately, that didn't work. Many remain loyal to Donald Trump and the best course of action for Americans, but many did not. Okay. So it didn't always fare so well. Many of them are the grumpy Chris Christies and the Sarah Muccis that we mentioned earlier. Some of that has been very costly. This time around, though, Trump has chosen the best of the best in industry and experience and proven success and tenacity to put Americans first. And literally all of them, 100% of them so far, are in agreement and in lockstep with Trump. So this isn't something he's going to have to worry about in this administration. He's not going to have to worry about any of these people being disloyal or cutting deals on the side or not agreeing with him. The vetting has been very, very strong and professional. This is good because he can then do what's best for Americans and not be worried about a knife being put in his back. All right. So moving on, really looking forward to how the country is going to be run with this star-studded administration. Joy Reid, one of the most overtly racist activists posing as a journalist on television, blames white women for not coming through for Kamala Harris, causing her, Kamala, in Reid's opinion, whatever that weighs, to lose North Carolina. North Carolina is white women's fault. Okay. She says black women are no longer interested in saving America after betrayal by white female voters. This woman is so great at overtly hating white people, and they leave her on the network. It's just incredible to me that she is allowed to even speak. Now, Reid said black women have resigned from the Save the Democratic Party coalition. Now, there's a video of her saying this, okay, because I got receipts. I'm not just repeating. I'm going to show you this. Watch this clip. You can hear it for yourself. Out of the mouth of Joy Reid.
But in the end, you know, if they didn't make their numbers and essentially exceed the numbers that Joe Biden had in the suburbs, and I think we have to be blunt about why. Black voters came through for Kamala Harris. White women voters did not. That is what it appears happened in that state, is that if you can't flip enough white women, and we've talked about this on this set numerous times, but it's a state where women lost their reproductive rights, where there was a very heavy push to get women to focus on not putting in place, re-electing, putting back into the White House the person who was responsible for taking those rights away and restoring them. But that message obviously was not enough to get enough white women to vote for Vice President Harris, a fellow woman. This will be the second opportunity that white women in this country have to change the way that they interact with the patriarchy.
Now, notice she emphasizes that black women came through for Kamala, right? Like, Black women, we did our job. It's not our fault. Don't look over here. Joy Reid's blame of white women for the loss of North Carolina is a masterclass in scapegoating that conveniently ignores the far more complex realities of this election. It's almost as if she thinks white women are the only voters who ever showed up at the polls, as though Black voters, Latino voters, and men and everyone else didn't play a part in the outcome. But sure, let's just paint this as a simple, one-dimensional story where the destiny of an entire state hinges on the whims of white women only. Because, you know, all 51% of them are apparently locked in some monolithic voting block, just waiting to betray the cause. And the fact that this analysis comes with a dash of racial overtones, subtly implying that white women votes are somehow more dangerous or volatile than others. Well, that's not only reductive, it's flat out racist, which is what Joy Reid is. As if the problem isn't systemic, but rather the fault of white women for not checking their privilege at the ballot box. This is classic, classic Joy Reid. Now, there were lots of Black women who voted for Donald Trump. And I have to speak to this because I'm a Black woman and I'm included in this, okay? Because not all Black women voted in for the Democrats, okay? And not all women voted, Black women voted for Trump, okay? What Joy Reid can't seem to understand or just doesn't want to accept across the board is that 65% of Americans collectively simply didn't like her. They just didn't like Kamala Harris. They didn't like her. It was true that when she ran for Democrat presidency, that's when it was true. She only gained 2% of the vote. They didn't like her then. It was true as VP, having the lowest approval rating ever as a vice president. And they disliked her so much that they didn't want to reward her with a promotion. They just didn't like her. She was unqualified. She was a terrible candidate. She was not charismatic. She's a poor representation of the American people. So Joy Reid, you can kick rocks. Joy Reid, a Fannie Willis, a Claudine Gay, a Whoopi Goldberg, a Sonny Hostin, a Lizzo, a Queen Latifah, Ayanna Pressley, a Beyonce, an Oprah, and anybody else in that category. Who needs you? And I'm not sure exactly where you're going to go, because all of you clearly hate Republicans. You're not right voters. And you're saying you're dumping the Democrat Party. Where are you going to go? If you decide that you're going to actually bow out in the next elections, thank God. Good riddance to you. We're better off without you. You have absolutely no impact. Joy Reid, nobody cares. Let's move on. Savages, savages, savage Americans, brace yourself, because Trump's picks for his administration are a dream that we never knew we needed, but always deserved. Finally, finally, America's about to get a majority House and majority Senate. And let's just say these new leaders aren't just capable, they're practically superheroes of governance. Responsible? Check. Accomplished? Double check. These are the kinds of people who'll put the Constitution in a headlock and tell it, you're welcome. No more of these career politicians who only know how to bundle things up. We're talking about a squad of real deal patriots who actually care about this country, and they're going to clean up Washington like it's a yard sale. So watch out, America. Your government's about to be in better hands than your grandma's secret recipe for apple pie. Gone are the days of half-baked policies and endless finger-pointing. With these leaders, we're not going to just have results. It's not going to just be rhetoric. They understand the value of a strong economy, a secure border, and putting America first. No more of this globalist nonsense or apologizing for being the best country on the planet. These folks are all about preserving freedom, liberty, and the American dream. And they're going to do it with a smile, a firm handshake, and a healthy dose of common sense. They'll cut through the nonsense like a hot knife through butter, because let's face it, they've been doing the job, not just talking about it. And for all those out there wondering, will they ever get it done? The answer is yes. These leaders aren't just talkers, they are doers. So get ready, America. It's about to be a glorious ride. The Constitution is going to be just fine. It's going to remain intact. And the future? Oh, it's looking brighter than ever. Buckle up, because we're going to make America great again. Again. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, while I'm still celebrating, and you should be too, be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely. The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.